Welcome on into the Ciroc Point After. Steve Geller here with you as we get set to talk after a 15-12 Saints loss to the Philadelphia Eagles in the Superdome. A definitely rough one for the Black and Gold, who are now 2-1 on the season. Philadelphia improving to 2-1 after they had lost on Monday Night Football to Atlanta. We just heard from the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints after the loss, Derek Carr. Here's what he had to say as the Black and Gold now lick their wounds and try and get back on track.
Hey, well, offense, struggling.
You know, I think they did a good job mixing up their fronts. You know, they had a lot of dudes on line scrimmage. You know, really sold out to try and stop the run, and they did a good job. You have to give credit to them. They made more plays than we did. You know, we as an offense, I start with myself. I wasn't, perfect, in all of my stuff. And you go back, you got corrected, but you knew adversity would happen at some point. You know, it's not gonna be that easy all the time. And so, for us, it's a great opportunity. You get hit in the mouth. And with that said, I thought we responded. To a tough, gritty game. It wasn't all just bombs and this kind of stuff. We had to grind it out a little bit and still make plays at the end and all that kind of stuff. And then at the very end, they made one more play than we did. And, that's how this game goes sometimes. But, there's no discouragement or anything like that. You're pissed because you lost. You're mad at that. You want to win all these games. But, end of the day, we played a really good football team. And we knew what type of team they were. You turn the film on, everyone talks about whatever. That didn't even matter. You turn the film on, we knew what we were going to get ourselves into. And so it was a grind, but they made more plays than we did. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard, especially for communication and things like that. But I thought Lucas did a fantastic job. He's a veteran, super smart. He's been in the system, in different varieties. I thought he did a great job. But, I always say anytime you lose anybody, on a football team, you never can just replace them. They bring a certain role and they bring a certain, piece of the puzzle, but it's always next man up, and I thought those guys battled. I thought they did a great job of battling against one of the better fronts in our league.
Yeah, there's already a component of this that they had two games of your offense on tape, but they had more to study and maybe a little bit more ready for you guys than in the first 2 weeks?
It could be, yeah. I mean, anytime that's throughout the season, and there's different, ebbs and flows of that, coaches switching things and changing things and all of that. But I thought, again, you got to give credit, to their players and to their coaches. They beat us today. And, as players and coaches, we take that personal, but we still believe, we know we're a good football team. And, the belief is, so strong in that room. Disappointed because we want it real bad, And, we really believed that, we were going to pull that one out, but we didn't. And so for us, it's about staying positive, but making the corrections that we have to make and, working on it during this week.
How close was that one to Shahidi, did you feel like, in the front of the end?
First half?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was close. But, he's made so many of those plays for me, and I'm going to keep throwing them, whenever he gets an opportunity. I trust my receiver so much. And so, yeah, it was close, but that's football sometimes.
Derek, what happened on the interception?
At the very end, someone just came free, and in that situation, a sack is terrible, and I was trying to just make a tight throw, hopefully that he would look, for me, as I was getting hit. And so, again, I wish I just, tried to skip it or whatever, get to the next play. But in that situation with the clock and how many yards, we needed to get, I tried to make that play for our team and I didn't. And, I tried to stand in there and make a throw and they ended up making the play.
First 7 weeks of the season, a lot of feeling out. You guys are still getting used to a new system. What do you think you guys can learn about yourselves from?
Oh, man. This is a great opportunity for us to come in tomorrow and see if we bring that same energy that we've been bringing, but bring it to some more corrections, right? Bring it into some things that, everyone's going to look at this tape and it's going to hurt, man. Because you're going to see things, man. What the heck did I do there? Why did I do that? And again, I say it, but that's football. And the teams that continue over this long race continue to improve. It's a race to see who can improve the most towards the end. And it's a great opportunity for us to look at some different fronts that we hadn't seen this year and to see some different kind of games and different kind of routes, different kind of throws for me, coverage, all that. And for me to be better, than I was the last time. And so My commitment to my team and to this organization is to, be hard on myself and, push our guys in the same way, that we look at it, just like we looked at it after a win. You're hard on each other. Got to be hard on each other, especially after this loss, so we can be better.
How much did not having to run game be as simple as it was kind of play factor?
Yeah, I mean, they did a good job, and they're, they did a, we had, some good runs, and we still were able to, make some adjustments and have some really good runs. And I thought in the pass game too, there were some play actions and stuff that, were good. And I don't want to over, do it. I thought we, Coach Gruden always told me we didn't lose, we just ran out of time. But they beat us today, and we ran out of time on that one. So I thought we were making good adjustments. I thought we started moving the ball well. So my confidence is high and all that. So anytime you don't, start off hot, it's always a grind a little bit. But I thought we handled it well.
What did you see to Olave just
to go ahead? Touchdown. Cover zero. They had the safety matched up on Chris, and for us that's a great matchup, and just throwing it, to my spot, and he ran it down like he always does and made that play.
Eric, what did you think of the crowd?
It was electric. That was a playoff atmosphere. I've only got to play in one of those, but it felt like that, and so that was amazing. We need them all year, because that's such an advantage for us, and so. The fans were fantastic. That was awesome, and hopefully make these corrections, give them some more stuff to cheer about.
Eric, what is just the emotional swing like of go ahead like that?
Yeah.
And then later you're down, you have to go back out on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's it's easy to do this. But in this game, mostly every time, it comes down to one possession. And you score and there's time on the clock, the other team always has a chance. And so, for me, I've tried my best to, just try and stay even keel. Obviously, you're excited. And, when they score, it's like you got to stay still ready to go, make your next read and make the next throw. And so it really is, a microcosm of what a football season is like. You got to stay like this. You got to trust your process, keep working, and you got to enjoy the process too.
How much did losing McCoy affect you?
Again, anytime you lose anybody on a football team, you don't just replace somebody. They bring a certain, gift, and they bring a certain talent and ability, leadership. But with that said, I thought Lucas did a great job. Again, he I get work with him too during the week, just in case something like this ever happens, And so, you lose a guy like Eric, it hurts. He's a captain, he's a leader, of our football team. So it hurts, but, and we all know that, again, football, that stuff happens all the time. It's next man up, and you got to be able to, pick right back up, and the expectation doesn't change. And so, but I thought Lucas did a fantastic job of, really listening to him communicate, to the young guys and stuff, new guys coming in and out once he's went out, all that, just watching him communicate. He's a true pro. He's a true leader, and I'm glad we have him.
Talk to me about your tattoo on your arm that says Jeremiah 29:11. And I know that you went through a lot during the offseason, especially with everything that's going on. How has your faith just grown as the offseason has gone on?
Yeah, I got this tattoo, when my grandpa had brain cancer. He was a pastor for like over 40 or 30, 40 years at the same church. And, he told me on his, when he was dying, he wrote Jeremiah 29:11 up on his board. He told his kids, don't ever forget it. And, for me, in that moment, he's sitting there, dying of brain cancer. And he tells us that, he said, God is real. Don't think just because I'm sitting here that he's not real. Just because I'm going through this, don't let the world tell you, what your rational eyes can see, that he's not real. And so it just means something to me, for a lot of reasons, obviously. But my faith is what I hold on to, through the amazing touchdowns and the fun and the fines, and also, in the hard times. And I just try and stay even keel. I go home and try and be a great husband. Go home and try and be the best dad that I can be, because that's what God's calling me to do. And then come in tomorrow and be the best quarterback I can be, and leader. And so, I try my best to do it. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm trying my best.
Who Dads Need to Keep the Faith. That was Dennis Allen, Derek Carr speaking there after the game. A 15-12 loss for the Saints. Carr ends up passing 14 of 25, 142 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Was sacked once and ends up with a rating of 69. 28.1 on the day. Definitely a tough go, looking to rebound. Week 4 against the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, though, we're going to pause 10 seconds, let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. See a lot of the angry Houdat Nation hanging on the line. You can chime in 504-260-1870 with your thoughts on the Ciroc lock, the Ciroc point after, here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We'll be right back with more. Back in here on the Ciroc point after, the Saints going down to the Philadelphia Eagles 15-12. We heard from Derek Carr after the game, one of the other team leaders. This time on the defensive side of the ball, let's hear from the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, after the Saints' loss.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, hats off to those guys. They, you know, they made the plays, you know, when it mattered the most. You know what I mean? And you could play great defense for, you know, 55 minutes, and, you know, 5 minutes, it could kind of get away from you. And so, you know, we'll learn from it. It's still early. We're still confident, you know, in what we can do. But hats off to those guys. They executed, you know, in those moments.
What happened on the one to Goddard, the one in the fourth quarter before the last touchdown coming across?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those situations where, you know, listen, we're a man-to-man defense. You know, it doesn't matter if it's 3rd and 90 or 3rd and 3. Like, we believe in us. And, you know, like I said, hats off to those guys. They executed. Clearly, they practiced, you know, like that particular play, because we got that exact play, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times. And, you know, I missed one tackle, and then the next time, you know, we got 3 or 4 guys running into each other. And so, hats off to those guys. You know, they executed, you know, in a critical moment.
What do you think it does to experience adversity?
Excuse me? I can't hear.
Well, what do you think it does to experience adversity?
Man, adversity is like a builder of life. You cannot go through life and expect great things without hiccups, without setbacks, without adversity. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks. You know, we pour our heart into the game. You know, we sacrifice a lot to get to Sunday, and, you know, we want to be able to win, not just for us, but for everybody. And so it doesn't always go your way, but the positive is that, you know, it's a lot of great teams, a lot of great people that wouldn't be great without hard times. And so, yeah, we got another game next week, division game. So, you know, we can't soak, you know, in this, you know, too long.
How difficult is it to continue giving hurts? I mean, you got some important times living.
I mean, he's an athlete. You know, you see it, you know, year after year. You know, a lot of guys come into this league at the quarterback position that's, you know, a few of them are much more than, you know, quarterbacks. You know, they're great athletes. And, you know, obviously his team believes in him. He believes in himself. And, you know, he's played in a lot of big football games, you know. So hats off to those guys. Like I said, they executed in the most critical moments, you know, of the game. And, yeah, it hurts. It sucks. You know what I mean? But it's a part of it.
I know sudden change was a big part of today's game. I know you guys made some mistakes early on, but you gave big stops along the way, especially in the red zone. How is that? How have you guys improved on that, especially with practice from this past week? And how do you continue to improve on that system?
Well, you know, for us, man, we always want to be able to take the ball away. And, you know, try our best to really, you know, limit teams to 3, you know, when they get to the red zone. It doesn't always go our way. But, yeah, I mean, you know, outside of, you know, a couple, you know, third downs, I thought we played hard. I thought we played fast. And there was just a couple moments within the game where, you know, we kind of broke down, you know, as a defense. And we'll learn from it. I'm sure our coaches will learn from it. I think us as players, we'll learn from it. And we'll be ready for Atlanta next week.
On the Barkley run, was there anything you saw that?
I mean, we were in cover 0. I mean, you know, they blocked it up pretty well. You know, he kind of cut back to the left. And there was nobody there. You know, the pressure was coming from the left side, so he didn't really have a second, third level to beat. You know, it was just like once he got past the first level, it was, you know, it's like off to the races. And so great, great play by him, you know, great vision by him. But, yeah, obviously we want to make that play, want to make that tackle, but, you know, he made a great play, made a great move.
Did y'all just overrun on the Barkley run, or was it something that?
The touchdown?
Yeah.
Nobody overran it. We were blitzing from the left. He got the ball, cut back to the left, and nobody was there. You know, they ran bubble slant to the field, so all those guys were in man-to-man. So they following their man. And once he rolled off the tackle, it's just paint. All he sees is end zone. You know what I mean?
It looked like there was some kind of jawing going back and forth later in the game.
Yeah. Well, obviously, man, it's an intense game, you know what I mean? And emotions get high, and, you know, obviously, you know, it was a one-point game for a while there. And, you know, I think defensively, man, obviously, we want to defend our home field, you know what I mean? But obviously, you know, me and Lat, we should never, you know, go to those guys, you know, sideline. So, you know, we'll learn from that. It happens to all of us where, you know, emotions kind of get the best of us. But didn't really hear much from those guys all game, you know, until they went up at the end. So just be looking forward to playing against those guys again, hopefully.
That was Tyrann Mathieu after the Saints' 15-12 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles in the Caesars Superdome. We're going to take a break on the Ciroc Point after. And when we get back, the Cajun Cannon fire sounds off after this loss. Hear what he has to think, and then we'll get your thoughts right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, Ciroc Point After. Stay tuned. Saints going down week 3 of the season, 15-12 to the Philadelphia Eagles inside the Caesars Superdome. Cajun Cannon, definitely you talk about adversity. Saints, a lot of missed opportunities in this game. The offense couldn't get going, and the defense just didn't hold up late.
Well, what happened to the first two games of the season? That's fantasy. I mean, how we whipped that ass, I mean, against Carolina. And
heavy
and
dose
the
of reality in this one.
No, this is more the NFL.
Right.
I mean, if you'd have told me before the game, we're going to be plus one in a turnover margin, and look, Derek threw that interception right at the end, but you're trying to push the ball. So we still plus four for the season. But if you'd have told me it would have been plus one.
And a block
and line. I'm not even talking about that. Okay, just look at the turnover margin. Okay, yeah, we always win on special teams. You know, that's one thing. We're going to win in special teams against Atlanta, against Tampa Bay, against the Chiefs, whoever we play, we're going to win on special teams. But if you'd have told me it would have been plus one in the turnover margin and our scoring, we had only held them to 15 points,
right?
Hell yeah, we're going to win. I said, there's no way we're not going to win. Now, it is reality. Even though you think it's modern-day NFL, you have some old-school scores. That come about. You can look at a number of areas, glass half full, half empty. What definitely the glass is half empty. This was back to what happened last year. Okay, what do? Can you stop the run or can we run the football? If you look rushing, they averaged 7 yards a carry, 6.9, that's 7 yards. We averaged 3.1. We had 29 rushing attempts, they had 25. I don't know, how in the hell the Giants got rid of Saquon Barkley? Are they stupid? I mean, Saquon Barkley averaged 8.6 yards a carry, a couple of touchdowns. That dude's fast. Now, you know, he got to make the catch against Atlanta, and then they win that game. And, you know, it just shows you that cliche, the fine, thin line, whether you win or lose. So you look at a number of areas, the glass is half full, half empty. You know why the glass is still half full? If you could tell me, and we go in Atlanta, I can tell you, what game is more important, beating the Eagles or beating Atlanta in your division?
That divisional foe, man.
Right. And then we're going to play Tampa Bay the first six games. I'm telling you now, you want to win them all. And, you know, you can have a tiebreaker. And they would have it. The Eagles would have it against the Saints. It's NFC. But when you look at it within the division, the game against at Atlanta next Sunday is more important. It just is. No, I'm not trying to sugarcoat what occurred. But if you look at it, the Eagles deserve to win. They were shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, I'm looking at, like, total first downs. Basically, we've been, like, 2-1. They were 2-1. 20 first downs, so we had 12. Third down, that was more realistic. What do you think? You know, we were, like, unbelievable the first two games on third down. We ended up being 46%, 6 of 13, which I think is, you know, if you're 48.5%, I think then you're amongst the best offenses. Defense, not so much. Instead of giving up 43%, I wish that number was more like 33%. But like Dennis Allen said, you know where we got gash? Chunk plays. Because in the red zone, bend but don't break. This is awesome. They were 1 of 3 in the red zone, 33%. That's outstanding. Now, we were 1 of 3 in the red zone, and we've been unbelievable in the red zone. So not so good. So that's a push. We're 1 of 3. They're 1 of 3 in the red zone. But it was a matter of the chunk plays. And at the end, what the hell? We're running into each other? I don't know if it was bad luck. I would have bet, and that's why I don't bet, I guess, your house or whatever.
I got scared money, so I'm not betting either.
No, I was thinking at the end, no, we in a position, we're going to win this type of game because you know why? I trust our defense. But then again, not so fast. Derek Carr only had 130 yards passing. I think he'd have more than that if we're able to run the ball more and utilize in play action. But those days with Kubiak and all, we're not throwing for 300 yards. It's going to be more around 200, 225, I think, if we're getting it done and we still can run the football. I've said this. I think this is outstanding. If we can continue to do this, how we're utilizing Alvin Kamara. If you look, he had like 29 touches. In the passing game, three targets, and he caught three balls for 40 yards, had 127 total yards. Steve, that's winning football with Alvin Kamara. So I'm going to take that against Atlanta. I think that's productive. We can go in that direction. Now, it might have had crucial penalties at time, but penalties really didn't come into play. I like the way the officials called the game. They only called 10 total penalties, 7 against the Eagles, 3 against the Saints. So that was something that was – definitely encouraging. I was impressed with, Jalen Hurts. And then you let Jalen Hurts pass the football like he did, considering A.J. Brown didn't play. A.J. Brown's a beast.
Right.
When he plays, the Eagles like always win. When they don't play, they don't win. And then you look at Devontae Smith. All of a sudden, he's knocked out. And then, at times, the tight end exploits us. Oh, did he exploit us? Again,
career day for Goddard.
Now, yeah, it was probably his best in his career.
Yes.
11 targets, and Coach Allen said we knew that they were going to do that, especially even at the end. 11 targets, 10 catches, 170 yards, 17-yard average.
Ouch.
He had that long gain of 61. Devontae Smith, because A.J. Brown's not there to target him 10 times, he had 7 catches for 79 yards. I think this is his best game. When you look at targets, 6 targets, 6 catches, Chris Olave. 86 yards, 14.5 yard average. He had that touchdown. Like I said, Kamara ended up having 3 targets, 3 catches for 40 yards. Now, Derek Carr, unbelievable QB rating. Well, not so much today. I think the Eagles had a lot to do with that. He was 14 of 25, 142 yards, quarterback rating of 69. He got sacked one time, but then you look at Jalen Hurts, 29 of 38. Realistically, when you think about that, usually you don't win when you throw in like 38 times. But, they almost had to be in that situation. And you look at Hurts also. I thought overall we contained him. He had that one long gain of 21 yards.
Right.
But he only averaged 3.1 yards a carry. I think sometimes we're so worried about him rushing that we didn't really get a pass rush.
No, he had a lot of time back there sometimes.
Yeah, that sugar rush and all that. So that they got to give Jalen Hurts a lot of credit for what he was able to do. Now, looking at defensively, where I thought the game really was lost, and you might say, well, Bobby, what, next man up? I'm telling you, we lost our best offensive lineman.
That was a big one, right.
When we lost McCoy, and the thing is with that, you want to have, your best lineman out there, and you have to have luck. What do I mean with that? With injuries. And, look how the Eagles had injuries. So that's just football. But I thought their defensive interior line, they dominated. I'm looking at Jalen Carter. Like Mike Dettelier was telling, when he comes to play, he comes to play. He's very disruptive. He ended up having a quarterback hurry, 2 tackles for a loss, 2 passes defended, UGA, another Davis. He had a sack, a quarterback hurry, a tackle for a loss. I just thought they had the better of us on the interior. When McCoy went out. But again, that's why, you play the game and you got to say next man up and there's no excuses. And the one thing that when the game unfolded and the way the game was is that, okay, beginning in the fourth quarter, it's like 14 minutes, 55 seconds left. It's 4th and 1. Kamara gets a 0.5 yard. So the Eagles all fired up. Okay.
Definitely missed Taysom Hill this game.
Again, yeah. Okay, 2 people. I'm glad you brought that up. Taysom Hill, because of the power, And Otto went for the field goal then. I'm not second guessing. It's not in hindsight because McCoy was out.
Right.
If McCoy's playing, then, okay, I could see you going for it. But I think you got to take the points then. The way the ebb and flow of the game, I think you had to take the points then and to take the field goal. Now, then, you know, right after that, all of a sudden, you know, Barkley goes for that 65-yard touchdown run. And then we're now losing 7-3. And, we, you know, it would have been maybe, I don't know, different. It would have been 7-6. You know, what would have came about. But, you know, you could second guess a number of plays. But I think the one thing defensively, anytime you only give up 15 points, you should win. But like you can't give up those chunk plays. Whether it's chunk runs or passes, whatever occurs, you cannot do that. Now, I don't know if I've ever witnessed this, especially from a cornerback. And a lot of times he was on Devontae Smith. It wasn't just Lattimore. Paulson Adebo. He had 10 tackles, and they were all unassisted. Not a linebacker.
Right.
You know, he had 10 unassisted tackles, a tackle for loss, pass defended. Honey Badger, I think overall, I think he has a lot left in the tank. He had 7 unassisted tackles total, a tackle for loss. He had that big interception in the red zone. He had a pass defend. He also missed a couple of tackles, you know, the big games. The one guy that's consistently playing the best in the to me is Carl Granderson. Carl Granderson is the one that's being disruptive. He had 5 total tackles, a sack and a half, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for loss. He forced a fumble.
Right.
And then the one who's getting better, the youngster, Brian Brzee. Brian Brzee, he ended up with 2 sacks and 2 quarterback hurries and 2 tackles for loss. No, it's a shame that you lose this kind of game. But I'm telling you, it'd be more a shame if we lose to the Falcons. We need them to beat the Falcons. You know, hopefully, because it's a division game.
We'll get to scout them again tonight. They're on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, we get to watch, see what's going to happen. And look at Atlanta. Everyone thought if Saquon catches the ball in the flat, then the Falcons don't have a chance to catch, you know, for Kirk Cousins to drive him down the field
right.
And to win that game. But now we can look ahead as fans do. Okay, I'm telling you right now, we got the next 3 games. Okay, we play in the Falcons. We play in the Chiefs on Monday night, and then we play in the Tampa Bay.
Right.
I don't even care if we don't beat the Chiefs. I'm telling you, we got to beat Atlanta, and then we got
to
beat Tampa Bay.
Amen to that.
And then you 3-0 in the NFC South.
Exactly.
And then you keep things in perspective. Now, obviously, when you have a game like this, it's an NFC game. This game's more important than when we play the Chiefs, because you never know about tiebreaks, all right? Because the Chiefs NFC. Are in the AFC, and we're in the NFC. But I tell you what, if you look at it, and we should have a bigger lead, and that's not necessarily the case. When we played in NOLA, counting playoffs and all, we're now 11 wins and 9 losses. So that's basically 500. Now, we're 3-1 in the postseason.
You're saying, is this under Dennis Allen?
No, this is history, Steve. There's too many games. Look,
versus the Eagles.
Yeah, there's 20 games.
Okay,
there's 20 games we've played in New Orleans
okay.
against the Eagles franchise, and we're 11-9.
I'm caught up now.
I would like that, you know, whenever you're at home, you want to be that more to be like 80%.
Sure.
You know, you want that to be like, 16-4 instead of 11-9. But, I tell you what, I was impressed with, you got to give the opposition credit, Saquon Barkley. He's not only, runs tough, but he's fast. You ain't catching him. When he took off, and I said, man, we ain't catching him.
Dropped the hammer and was gone, like you said. Know,
but that was so frustrating. I was like, what the hell? Did they run a pick play at the end or something?
Frustrating, too. Rashid Shaheed got shut out this game.
Okay, Rashid Shaheed, again, what did I've always said? A great receiver, and he had a couple of times to make contested catches.
Couldn't come down.
High point the ball, come down with the ball, and then you come down and you make those great plays, then you make a lot of money. A lot of money. Because, whoa, look at that catch. Oh, look at that. Did you see that catch? And then about a couple of times where there's been going on our behalf with Rashid Shaheed's been unbelievable. Since Rashid Shaheed came in the league, the only player who's had more chunk plays than him is Tyreek Hill.
Right.
I'm going to say off the top of my head, Charlie, something like 13-9. Well, when I'm talking about like 40-plus yards or something, like a real chunk play. But, yeah, so not the best game for Rashid Shaheed to show his grandkids because he was targeted five times. You know how many catches he had? Zero. And he could have had two significant chunk plays that didn't happen, with contested catches. But you got to give the Eagles credit because this is an ugly game. They won an ugly game, but they all count the same. You know how we kick the Cowgirls' ass and we kick the Panthers behind? They all count the same. You know, if we'd have won this game and it said, boy, look at the numbers. The Eagles really put it to us, but the Saints won.
Right, the W is the only thing that matters, right?
Yes. It doesn't, I always say this kind of jokingly. It's not a soccer game or, if the Saints win 3-2, I don't care. Or we kick the field goal and they got a safety.
Whoopity-doo.
You could, like we crushed Dallas. You can have that score. Like you went 3-2, they all count the same. So that's why we need to rebound, how you handle adversity going forward, and you got to win on the road in Atlanta. Now, realistically, I think where Atlanta's at and where we're at. I love us to sweep Atlanta. But one thing that has to happen, you have to at least split. So why not have a little lanyard and win at Atlanta? Because the Saints have played good on the road at Atlanta.
Right.
The Houdat Nation represents it in the ATL.
Our home away from home.
Yep. So get a win, and then you're feeling good about yourself again. There's nothing wrong with being humble. You know, you get humbled, how you handle adversity. You got to be a pro. I mean, you can't pout and say, woe is me and all that. And you just have to go forward because what happened the first two games is really not realistic on the NFL level. That's more like top colleges playing like a homecoming game where it's like rent a win. You know, you pay a bunch of money, you give it, somebody, now when you lose that game, but how embarrassing. You give somebody $750,000 and then, you know, you win by three or four touchdowns. Just to help them out, then you get a win. Well, you really don't have that in the NFL. And the bottom line is I'm still highly encouraged. And why I'm also feeling pretty good, because the Ravens are whipping that Cowgirls' ass. I don't know, what's the score, 14-3 or something? Or is Dallas coming back maybe?
Let's see here.
I gotta look at that.
It's still 14-3. There are about 8 minutes left till halftime.
So halftime, yeah, so maybe it's still a lot of football to play going into halftime. But, you know, I always say this, I wish this would have been the case. You know, Saints win and the Cowgirls lose. But we're going to bounce back. I'm still optimistic.
We got the Bucs loss at least.
Yeah.
Denver won there. And then hopefully tonight Kansas City takes care of the Falcons.
Yeah. Go Chiefs, go.
Exactly.
Do the tomahawk chop tonight. And go Chiefs, go. We'll whip the Falcons. Who would have thought, realistically, show how the NFL, who would have thought Sean Payton and the Broncos going to go into Tampa Bay? They won handily. I don't know how the game turned out, but look at the score. What was the score in that game, Steve?
Final 26-7 in Tampa Bay for Denver.
What? is the Denver Broncos the Chiefs? Or what? We thought that Denver, they are still rebuilding. So you never know in the NFL it is that good. And it's just a shame because we had opportunities, and we didn't take advantage of the opportunities to win this kind of game. Because, again, I say this, turnover margin and scoring defense. Now, we didn't do the scoring offense part right to get in the 20s. But wouldn't you take right now going forward, I don't care if we're playing Atlanta, if we're playing the Chiefs, if we're playing Tampa Bay, anybody in our schedule, shame on us if we hold somebody to 15 points and we don't win. You know, we came into the game, we were only giving up 14.5 points a game. That was tough. That was fourth best in the league. So we continue to do that. No, you have to win. Just the percentage is going to be in your favor to win, and then you're on the plus side, the turnover margin. No, I'm not panicking. It's just a frustrating loss. A frustrating loss is a hard-fought game, but I'm telling you, when we lost McCoy, I'm in the interior. He's our best offensive lineman, and then they dominated in the interior. Their D tackles against our interior.
You heard the
you know who else struggled? Cesar Ruiz. CeeCe Reed, everybody's bragging on how he was running down the field. Remember, oh, look how fast he's running. Remember against Dallas? And then they were saying, commenting on how, well, I don't care how fast you run. Can you block that big son of a gun in front of you? And the Eagles, you got to give them credit.
You've heard the Cajun cannon sound off. Now it's your turn. Want to hear from you. 504-260-1870. That's the number to dial into the Ciroc Point After. We'll be back with more of it right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Pouring my shot, an extra shot here, Cajun Cannon, on the Ciroc Point After today after the Saints go down 15-12 to the Philadelphia Eagles in week three, now 2-1 on the season. And I know you were kind of hopeful after, you know, the black and gold were able to get the lead back in this game.
We're going to win, but I guess that's why they played a game. When we went 9 plays, 50 yards, 4 minutes, 38 seconds, when Derek Carr hit Chris Olave for a 12-yard touchdown, we're up. Ugly, a modern-day score, 12-7. And then all of a sudden, they don't need a field goal to win or to tie. They need a damn touchdown. Well, it's the two-minute warning's at like a minute and 57.
And a rocking Superdome.
Yes, everyone's pumped up, and then you look at it. Look at the down and distance. You know, you want to get somebody 3rd and 8 or more. It was 3rd and 16. 3rd and 16. Hurts hits Goddard. We run into each other. That make you lose sleep at night.
Right.
All of a sudden, Rub Route got to go 61 yards. Then they have 1st and goal on the 4-yard line. And I don't know. I love what the Eagles did. You know, I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm like mocking the Eagles fans. Eagles. Eagles. But they came. They travel well. Eagles fans travel well, like Packer fans, the Cheeseheads.
Steelers.
Cowgirls. But they might not travel as well if you get them going a losing streak. But when you look at what occurred then, just look at the interior. When you get a push, who you are more confident in, if it's like 1 or 2 yards to go, like the push up the middle, the Eagles or the Saints, this game. And now you got to realize McCoy's not playing. I thought, well, damn, it was the Eagles for sure. This was back what we don't need to get to. Again, what average per carry?
Right.
We gave up basically 7 yards a carry, and we only got 3.1. Again, not having Taysom Hill. And McCoy out, because I can tell you right now, we're not changing. You might want Derek Carr to throw 35, 40 times, and they're not going to do that. We're going to be more 49ers like Packers. That whole system, we're going to run the ball. I would say this is a low number. We'll never run in the teens. Well, and we'd have to be just turning the ball over and so far behind, which is not good. But 29 rushing attempts, though, you can almost like have 35 plus, 39, you know, when all said and done. But
what's up with Derek Carr having more rushing attempts than Jamal Williams, for crying out loud? They didn't even give Jamal the ball.
Well, I gave him the ball. He had minus one.
One carry.
One carry, minus one. No, they were feeding Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't have a problem with that. Alvin Kamara had 127 total yards. I mean, as good as a running back is that Alvin Kamara is, he's more Christian McCaffrey-like. But Saquon Barkley, to me, is a different beast. I'm a Saquon fan.
We got speed and the strength.
Yes, yes. If you just look at, like, if they just stood by each other, if you just look at the size, okay, Alvin Kamara is 5'10", 215. Charlie, look up right quick. How big is Saquon Barkley? I know he's not that little. I'm not saying and Alvin Kamara.
His thighs might be as much as Alvin Kamara weighs.
Alvin Kamara is very powerful, considering his size and how explosive he is.
Absolutely.
But if they just were standing by each other, Saquon just looks, I'm not saying Derrick Henry, but he just seems more along those lines. Charlie, you got to record. What is Saquon Barkley?
6'2", 232.
Okay. Say it again.
6 foot, 232
pounds. 232 pounds. Yeah, so you might think 5'10", so yeah, that makes all the difference. I don't know. Maybe I'm just got Saquon on the brain. All I know is when Saquon breaks an open field, you ain't catching him. But again, a very disheartening loss. Let's go to the callers because I'm talking too much. But anyway, how that game? Like I said, we took the lead 12-7 with 1:57 left, and we got our defense. That's one thing. At home, the dome's rocking. A lot of Eagles fans, but the dome's rocking. I saw it for sure. Now, if they had to get a field goal to tie the game, they'll go to overtime.
A little more nervous,
or a field
right.
goal to win it, yes. But a touchdown, Howard has said no, but hell no. And guess what? You got to give the Eagles,
yes.
Eagles credit. They went down and scored. On a play, it was like that rub route. That looked like that was beyond high school open. It'd be like running into each other. I mean, and I was like, oh, a rub route, pick play, or what in the hell happened? No, it wasn't. The Eagles didn't do anything illegal to get that wide open. And, no, just very frustrating. I almost, like, was slipping out of my chair, falling down. I just said, you got to be freaking kidding me. What? And then when they got down there first and goal to the four-yard line, I thought, no. Oh, are we going to bow up and stop them? I had no confidence that we were going to stop them then.
Hopefully get that confidence back as we get ready for week 4 in the ATL. But want to hear from you. You've been hearing from the Cajun Cannon sounding off right here on the Ciroc Point After. Chime in 504-260-1870. Hoodads, we're going to take a break and be back with your calls here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After, remember the day after the Saints score a touchdown, get free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. Cajun Cannon, want to get into all our calls on 504-260-1870 here on the Ciroc Point After. Hector in New Orleans, you are first up to bat. What you got for us today, Hector?
Hey guys, a disappointing loss. Like you, Bobby, I thought that things changed to from really bad when we lost Eric McCoy, because after that it looked like the Eagles defense was really making havoc on the left side of the line. With that said, what worries me is that because the Eagles lost two offensive linemen too, and they look like they made the adjustments they
right.
needed to make. So my
well, maybe their backups are better. Hector, maybe their backups are better than our backups.
Absolutely. So my question is, I like to seriously question our depth. You know, what happens if we lose one of the tackles? Who's our backup? You say, I think those questions are unanswered. They were unanswered going into the season.
Yeah, they were Hector, think about this. They were unanswered coming into the season, the offensive line, even with McCoy. So think about, this is more what we thought, okay, going into week 1 against Carolina and then going against Dallas. Now, this is kind of what we thought that the offensive line and the production we would have as far as running the football, which we don't want to happen, where we're averaging 3 yards, 3.5 yards a carry. But that's what occurred today. They said, oh, offensive line, look how well they blocked against Carolina and Dallas. That shows you how sorry the Cowgirls are in the trenches. No, the Eagles, their D-tackles are way better. Just more explosive, big son of a guns there. And I just thought that was the difference. That you look at Jalen Carter and then Davis, how disruptive they were in the middle. Now, we're able to complete a long pass against Zach Bond. Look, I got to give players credit because you never know in your career how it's going to unfold. Look at Zach Bond. He leads the Eagles with 13 total tackles, 9 unassisted. Now, we beat him on that long pass play, but that wasn't bad coverage. That was a great catch. Was that – who caught that ball against him? Was that was it Kamara or something? You remember on the sideline, Charlie and Steve? I'm trying to think along the sidelines. That wasn't bad coverage.
It was Alvin Charlie saying on the wheel route.
That was a great catch and a great pass there. So Zach Bond has matured as a player, where with the Saints, he was more a special teams ace, helping out JT Gray, who ended up blocking a punt today. I got to give him credit with that. But JT Gray is like all pro. We've always excelled in that level. But Zach Bond, They count on him. And you know what I saw in the elevator coming out of the press box? That boy, old school. And I don't know, he sees my shirt. I got Who Dat Nation stuff and all that. Vic Fangio.
Blast from the past for you, huh?
He goes, Bobby, how you doing? And, you know, Vic and I go way back because he coached the outside linebackers in the Dome Patrol with Pat Swilling and Ricky Jackson. And I said, Vic, a great game plan and what you did against the Saints. What I mean by great game plan, considering the Saints were averaging 45.5 points after the first two games, what they did against Carolina and Dallas, how you handle adversity, how you weather the storm. Look at Vic. He didn't work out as a head coach. He goes to Miami. Now he's in Philadelphia. And his game plan. Now think about this too, Hector. That how does Kubiak and the Saints, because it's like playing chess. You want to be playing chess, not checkers. And how do you adjust? When teams starting having game film on you, Atlanta's going to be aware of this. So will the Chiefs and, Tampa Bay. I'm just looking at our next three games. The more film you get, you see how certain plays are called. So one thing I know right now, that teams know that the Saints want to run the football. Now, can we consistently run the football for a whole season and not catch a team off guard? So that's what's going to be intriguing. But, boy, talking with Vic, it's amazing. Vic Fangio, he's running a defense, and he was coaching these big beasts of linebackers and all that. Now, Vic Fangio might be like 175 pounds soaking wet. You know, I look at it, I'd always mess with him. But he's one of my favorite people, and I just had to congratulate Vic. You did a great job with your game plan against that Saints offense.
What else you got for us, Hector?
No, that's it. Thanks, Bobby.
All right, Hector.
Appreciate it. You want to hear from you folks on our Oakland Hard Jewelers Talk and Text line on the Ciroc Point After, 504-260-1870. We'll get more into your calls after this break here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After, I want to remind everybody, too, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this year. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations now at $5,850 after this week's performance from the Black and Gold. Cajun Cannon,
the talk and text line.
Right.
Did I say it right?
Yes.
All I know, this text, I can tell you this right now, this might be the best text.
Really?
Because this is truly a show, a question for Dennis Allen, which I will ask at the second guest tomorrow night at the Silver Slipper.
Good tease.
And this is from, let me see, I got to put my glass on, 0983. Why weren't we playing zone and 3rd and 16? You know why that's a good point? Let me tell you why. Was A.J. Brown playing or Devontae Smith playing? Goddard, their tight end, they know they're going to feature them.
Right.
When you're playing man-to-man, you don't know, you might be guarding somebody, and all of a sudden you have there's a snake in the turf, and you trip and you fall down. Somebody's right open. Now, you might want to bring heat. That's why we have to be able to get a pass rush, rushing four damn people, not always tricking like Alante Taylor, going in there and we're trying to get after the quarterback. Four-man rush. Well, where's Payne Turner? Where is Cam Jordan? Cam Jordan didn't even have a stat. And I love Cam Jordan. You know, Cal always mess with him, Cal Berkeley and all that. Sure. Cam, in three games, you know what Cam has? He needs to go on TV right now. Cam, don't hate me. I'm just speaking the truth. You have two tackles. You have two tackles, Cam Jordan. Come on, don't be stealing money. We need you to do something, be significant against Atlanta. The last time when you played in Philly, you were all-time sack leader for the Saints. You had three sacks. You didn't make a stat sheet. Now think about that. Carl Granderson.
That's rough.
And Brian Brzee is the ones getting it done. So with that being said, I'm going to ask Dennis Allen that. Someone will probably have him aware of that. Why didn't you play zone? Come up, make the tackle. We got guys who tackle well. It's 3rd and 16. So all of a sudden, don't give up a chunk play. Because a lot of times, a man-to-man, you miss a tackle, then it's a chunk play, or somebody falls down, or we run into each other like what happened, because their main guy was Goddard. Now, he's an outstanding tight end for them. And like he ended up doing in the game, when you think about it, 10 catches, 170 yards, the best game of his career.
Yeah.
But
I think Mike Quick highlighted him when we were talking to him pregame.
Yes, that they were, because the Saints, one thing you've noticed, this is since DeMario Davis and all has been part of this, goes back to Malcolm Jenkins and all. This goes back to when we played the Raiders, when Derek Carr was on the Raiders. Remember, he utilized the tight end Waller from Georgia Tech, who ended up going from the Raiders to the Giants. I think he's retired now. How we've had problems.
I just remember, too, like a Marcus Williams hanging all over a George Kittle trying to bring him down.
With the tight end or running quarterback.
Yeah.
So that's why, I don't know, keep the ball in front of you. Make the Eagles have to go down and drive. Not no damn chunk play. When you think about it, we're winning 12-7. It's under 2 minutes left in the game. It's not like, okay, bend but don't break. No, we can bend, but don't break and get gashed. You can bend, but they don't have enough time.
Way too much bending.
Yes, but you don't have enough time to score a touchdown. That's a great text, because I'm telling you, as much as I think Dennis Allen is outstanding as a head defensive coordinator, and the jury's still out as a head coach, 3rd and 16, now it's all hindsight. Now, what if you play outstanding man-to-man coverage and all that? But I just think when you're playing the percentages, I know as a quarterback, I would have loved when they play in man-to-man. Now, you got to be accurate with the football, and you got to fit it in there. But a lot of things can happen. If that one guy that you trust and doesn't come through, you know what that kind of reminds me of? We play in the 49ers, 2011. And then Alex Smith. And Greg Williams trusts, okay, now he trusts Malcolm Jenkins, who was a cornerback safety cornerback on Vernon Davis. He was 3rd and 20 somewhere, whatever, and then he gets beat by like a yard and a half. I mean, man to man. I mean, I think this day and age, you want to really frustrate a quarterback that knows what they're doing, you get after opposing quarterback with a 4-man rush and you can drop 7 and then keep the ball in front of you. Now, you got to come up and make the tackle,
right,
and then make them have those long, sustained drives where they wouldn't have had enough time to have like a double-digit drive because the game's over. You cannot give up that drive, bam, bam, bam. It's like, what? No, okay, again, that situation, 3rd and 16, and then he goes to 61 yards. And then, okay, we got to bow up, 1st and goal, the 4-yard line. Nah, I was not confident when that occurred.
We're going to take a break here on the Ciroc Point. After we get back, more of your calls, 504-260-1870. Saints a 15-12 loser to the Philadelphia Eagles week 3. They are now 2-1 on the season. We'll look to rebound right after this break here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Philadelphia 15, Saints 12. The Saints go down to the Eagles in the Caesars Superdome, falling to 2-1 on the season. We're back here on the Ciroc Point after pouring out a few for me in the cage in the cannon. Hope you can have one with us as well. Looking at the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line cannon,
yeah.
I saw something else stood out to you on there.
No, because listen, how you utilize the tight end. You look how the Eagles utilize the tight end with Goddard. I think they invested in Juwan Johnson. And you look this from 75-97. Where is Juwan Johnson? Where is anyone other than Olave and Kamara? You look at the passing game, the Shaheed, they gave him opportunities. They didn't come up with the big catch. Shaheed had 5 targets, no catches.
Juwan, not even target.
So what's up with that? Now, Foster Morrow, a very serviceable tight end. Now, he had a couple of targets. He had 1 catch, 2 yards. But I look at Foster Morrow like a complete tight end to block as much as being involved in the passing game. But Juwan Johnson, he's supposed to be Al Goddard. You look at all Kittle or Kelsey. I'm just looking at pass receiving tight ends. Isn't Juwan Johnson supposed to be that? And he has 0 targets? No, I you'd have to look at the film, and someone's going to look at the film of this game, and Juwan Johnson, his opportunities are his lack of production. What's up with that? Because that out of sight, out of mind. And he's supposed to be our pass receiving tight end.
Especially in a game we've talked about, too, where a physical person like Taysom Hill is not involved.
Yeah, he don't get targeted. He don't have any catches. No. And Derek Carr hit him. What was the game he hit him for a touchdown? I remember it was a nice catch in the corner of the end zone. Was that in the Carolina game, or was that this past game against? No, I think it was against Carolina, not against
it
Dallas.
Was game one, right?
Yeah, where Juwan Johnson had that touchdown. So no, he's supposed to be our pass receiving tight end. If you're a running team, think about running teams. Don't they utilize like the tight end that you want to run? And then I just look at the 49ers because I think of Shanahan and I think of Kubiak and all, and you know, Kittle and stuff like that. But that's a good text. What the hell? We don't even throw Juwan Johnson a ball?
Before we get into our callers, Bobby, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints radio network. Checking in with the Who Dat Nation. The sounding off. Going to go to Hollywood in Thibodeau. What you got for us today, Hollywood?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
Managing.
All right, Hollywood. What you got?
I think Saints lost that game without stopping Barkley. Too many big runs without doing a tight end.
Sure.
Too many big chunk plays. And it looks like Zach Bond, our former linebacker, had a great game with the Eagles. He looks like where Kamara went. He went. He made a lot of tackles. And
the thing is, you know what the Eagles have and the Saints don't have? That meat in the middle. And Charlie brought this up. Well, when they want to play, you look at Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis. You know, talk about occupying space. You're talking about 700 pounds of human flesh and interior. Like, our guards in the center position against those cats. I don't care. Like, Dennis Allen could say, I don't know, it's 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1. We got to be able to get that. It depends who's blocking who. Now, the Eagles were confident they can do that against our interior defensive linemen. And when I look at, if you look at all the interior defensive tackles, I think Brian Brzee, he's more disruptive as a pass rusher. He's getting better against the run. He ended up with 2 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for a loss. Nathan Shepard ended up having 3 total tackles. But you don't look at our interior. You know, Ridgeway, who we got in the trade from the Commanders, he had assists and a tackle. But you don't look at us and our physical presence at the teeth of the of a defense, like slap right up the middle. That's why when they had 1st and goal, the 4-yard line, just look at that push. Man, it was like a tsunami. Whoa, they just going and just easily scoring. I guarantee you if we had 1st and goal, the 4-yard line, we're not scoring between the guard, center, and guard right up the middle like that. No, it doesn't matter who's playing what. You look our D-line against their O-line or vice versa. And that's where the Eagles had a big advantage, I thought, without McCoy being there when he got hurt early. Anything else, Hollywood?
Hey, Bobby,
Yeah,
we sure missed Taysom Hill today, huh?
Definitely.
Yeah, the Taysom Hill, the players respect him, and he just brings that toughness.
Right, a big physical element you were missing.
Physical element. He could play 4 or 5 different positions and how we utilize him. Now, we got to listen. I'd rather, instead of dealing with something game in and game out, I'd rather Taysom Hill to be fresh or ready to roll against Atlanta. You know, you might say, oh, I want him at the home game against the Eagles to go 3-0. But if he can help us beat Atlanta.
Yeah, be a dirty bird killer.
Yes. So that's why it's a long season. And what are we doing in the NFC South? Because all I know is if you win the NFC South and the owners won this, you get to host a playoff game. Look at Tampa Bay. No one thought realistically Tampa Bay was going to the Super Bowl last year, but they host a game and they spanked these Eagles, you know, who fell apart at the end. Remember, what were the Eagles, 9-1? And then they fell apart. 10-1, then they fell apart. So you look where they're at. So I'm telling you, those are 2-for-1. Like we beat Carolina division game, Atlanta and Tampa Bay. So we got Atlanta coming up on the road, and then you got to go Kansas City Monday night, then you got Tampa Bay back here. I'm telling you, those games, that counts to me. It's not just one game. That's a 2-for-1 where you can be 3-0, like I said earlier, in the NFC South by beating Atlanta and Tampa Bay.
Want to hear from you folks on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. It's 504-260-1870. Sound off. We'll get to your text and calls right after this with more on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Cajun Cannon, want to go, what's bugging Bobby about today's game? Brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. So, Cajun Cannon, obviously the L is bugging you, but what else really bugging you about this game?
Well, because we need to move forward and not go backwards, but this was a backwards statement plus. We gave up basically 7 yards a carry, 6.9,
and we only
got 3.1. So, you know, last year it was like we were giving up 4.5 and we're only gaining 3.5. So, not so fast. So, you know, it could change against Atlanta. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what's going to happen. But that was bugging me. So it's not like, oh, the Eagles tricked us. Oh, they tricked us, and so they beat us that way. No. They knocked the snot bubble. They ran right at us, 172 yards rushing, and we had 89. So I want to look at that. That was bugging me because I know how this team is structured. I'm not saying we wanted to run for 172 yards, but I know we didn't want to rush for 89. You know, 130, 140, somewhere around there. But, yeah, that's what's bugging me, how they were realistically, and you got to count the chunk plays, they were able to run the ball, and we were not able to run the ball. So you might say, well, Hebert, well, you're looking at all the run yards if you don't really investigate. Well, it was because of Jalen Hurts. Oh, we can't stop a running quarterback. No, he ran the ball.
He had his, but it wasn't awful.
No, he ran 8 times for 25 yards,
right.
And he had a long run of 21,
yeah.
But he only averaged 3.1 yards. It was Saquon Barkley. That was the one. Oh, and then, you know, coaches or players might say, oh, you take away that long run, and then it wasn't so bad.
Wow.
But you can't – that 65-yard run counts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if Alvin Kamara or Jamal Williams, if any of our running backs had that, yeah, it counts with our rushing attack. So, yeah, that's what was bugging me. Again, can you run the ball and can you stop the run? And that didn't happen in a game that the scoring defense is good enough to win. You give up 15 points, you should win. But that was not the case.
Back here on the Ciroc Point After, I'm host Steve. We're going to go to Football Steve on the line right now. What you got for us today, Football Steve?
Hey, Bobby. I got a couple comments and I'm going to hang up and listen to what you have to say. I just thought that today that Clint Kubiak got outcoached. He didn't do any checkdowns to the tight ends or have receivers to go in the flat because it looked like that was open. The defense had about 10 men on the line. So if they have all of them on the line, something's going to be open in the middle. So we had a miss on that. And then the defensive coordinator, which is Dennis Allen, I don't know what kind of defense he was in the last 2 minutes of the game. It's very embarrassing. We had this game in hand. You mentioned that they scored 15 points. We should have won. And Derek Carr missed on two attempts to Shaheed Raheed. He should have thrown the ball a little bit further, and it's Shaheed's fault.
Hold on.
If he'd have led him a little bit more,
then we
could have had that. So.
But yeah, but
in the draft, we need to pick safeties with speed. Saquon Barkley was side by side, Marshawn Lattimore, and Alante Taylor.
Man, they weren't catching him.
Just, you know, he had speed, so he took off. And all the time that we chasing these running backs or quarterback. But overall, I think it's something that we can come back from, learn from, and go beat the Dirty Birds.
Yeah, no, Clint Kubiak is a human, even though we're ready to crown him as the mayor of New Orleans or the governor of Louisiana. I mean, he was, you know, unbelievable. But Clint Kubiak, he's a grinder. He's going to look at the film and say, okay, it's like a chess match. Like I said, okay, well, how are teams trying to play us? To me is, to me, you should always have the tight end more involved. You might say, well, Juwan Johnson wasn't involved. They probably had Foster Moreau involved. No. He had two targets and one catch. So that was not necessarily the case in point that they were more trying to get, again, Chris Olave the ball, which had six targets, six catches. Now, Rashid Shaheed had five targets and zero catches. But, you know, Steve, when you think about it, I'm telling you, it's hard. And how you got to be accurate. And when that ball's down there, you might say, oh, if you throw it a half a yard further, you have to look at the distance of the ball. Now, I'm not just taking up for the quarterbacks, but I'm telling you that if the ball's up there, it's like going up for a rebound. You have to be like, man, that ball's mine. That ball's mine. I don't care who's guarding me and they're tugging me and all that. And we've seen Rashid Shaheed make these plays before. And then if you make those plays, teams notice this, and the Saints don't pay you, somebody's going to pay you a lot of money. Because we know he's fast.
Right.
And can outrun defenders. But making those – I've said that about Chris Olave. Making contested catches. That's where size a lot of times comes into play. That's why I'd be a little worried. Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the postseason if we get there, but the Eagles with A.J. Green. But why do you think A.J.
Brown.
A.J. Green. A.J. Brown.
You got Green on the brain.
Yeah. Why do you think A.J. Brown is the number one target instead of Devontae Smith?
Big physical.
Because he's bigger. He's just a bigger receiver and more someone you can count on when the coverage is tight. And nothing against Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith's a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, think about that. He had 10 targets, 7 catches, right at 80 yards. But right now, I think we lack it sometimes when, okay, it's a jump ball, whatever, go for a rebound, and we don't have that guy. I think Chris Olave has gotten better, and he can't be that guy. But you don't see that physical presence. And maybe a receiver like Marcus Colston, Michael Thomas. We don't necessarily have that. But then could that be Juwan Johnson? I don't know. We didn't throw him the ball. We didn't give Juwan Johnson an opportunity because he's a big receiver. Juwan Johnson ain't little. Now, you look at Juwan Johnson as a tight end, and if you look at his makeup, I mean, he's 6'4", 231. So I don't know. I'm sure at times in the game you have mismatches. They would not take advantage of this. So I think, you know, football, Steve, Clint Kubiak has to be aware of that and definitely get Juwan Johnson more involved in the future.
Going more to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Danny in Covington, you are up next here on the Ciroc Point After. How you doing, Danny?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing today?
All right, Danny, what you got, man?
Man, for me, it came down to a few different factors, man. I don't think anybody mentioned it yet. And I know we didn't get our butts whipped in time of possession, but it always seemed like the Eagles' offense was on the field, and they tired out our defense, which, you know, could have led to them chunk plays, you know.
When you look at time possession, they had the ball. That wasn't that bad. It wasn't like 10 minutes. It was like 4 minutes. They did have the ball longer than we had it, but it wasn't like, they had about 10, 12 minutes more than us. That was not the case. And third down, we were basically the same. They were 6 of 14. We were 6 of 13. So you can't look
right
at third
down. It just seemed to me like they had, like, long, sustained drives, which, you know, led to some chunk plays to me. Also, you know, like y'all said before, there was missed opportunities. You know, we had the ball in the red zone. Shaheed, you know, could have essentially caught two touchdown passes, but
right.
Dropped both of them.
Right, but I don't know if dropping, the defender had an opportunity to make a play, and he did. I don't know if you call it drops, but just be strong-handed and make that catch, and then you look like a hero.
Agreed upon.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And my last point, and then I'm going to hang up with y'all. So Clint Kubiak, yeah, everybody, you know, he looks awesome so far to me. But the more film that these defensive coordinators get on him, you know, the harder it's going to be.
Without
a
doubt.
You're really going to see what you got in Clint Kubiak when he is forced to adjust to everybody else's defensive schemes.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, it's going to be Atlanta. It's going to be Kansas City. It's going to be Tampa Bay. How do you going to adjust? Okay, you look how – now look at Atlanta – Raheem Morris, defense coach. You look at, his name's slipping my mind. He was with the Saints. He was terrible. The defensive coordinator for the Chiefs.
Oh, Spagnuolo.
Spags. He's very aggressive. And then can you win the one-on-ones when he's being overly aggressive with the blitz, whatever? And then you're going to look at Todd Bowles with Tampa Bay. No, those guys, they ain't their first rodeo in running defenses. So it's going to be a challenge for the Saints offense. You know what's unacceptable? I don't care what game you play in. You can't have 12 freaking first downs. You got to be hovering around 18-plus. Like they had 20 first downs, we had 12. And that's I'm telling you, 12 first downs, you're not clicking on offense. And I think it just seems like from the beginning, at get-go, when McCoy got hurt, I was like, oh, no, what are we doing? I just looked, did you see also that stupid penalty? Now, we were able to overcome that. Trevor Penning. We had 3rd and 4, and Kamara gets 5 yards, and he's blocking the guy way out of bounds. What are you doing? You can't be that out of control. And you got that penalty. Now, we're able to overcome that. You should never be in that situation. To me, the pass of the game, which when I thought we were going to win, we went up 12-7. I wrote this down. It was 4 minutes, 19 seconds left, and it was 2nd and 10 when Carr hit Chris Olave plus 29. To me, I thought that was going to be the pass of the game. We're on the 21-yard line, and the Kamara plus 4 and plus 9. And then Carr hit Olave. Jamal Williams didn't get nothing on his run. But Carr to Olave, 12-yard touchdown. Went 9 plays, 50 yards. But then we got behind the 8-ball. We had the ball. Remember, like, on the 50-yard line after they gone the missed field goal. And speaking of, like, coaches' decisions. What's the Eagles guy?
Sirianni.
Sirianni, what's his name? The Eagles fans, he's lucky he won. They about ready to run his ass out of town. And his decisions, what he's doing. I mean, being overly aggressive or whatever, when I'm going for a field goal or I'm not going for a field goal. No. We kind of question Dennis Allen not going for a field goal and, saying we got to be able to get 1 yard. We were not able to do that. The reason why I said I'd have taken the points, considering the ebb and flow of the game, because McCoy wasn't playing. And to take the points at that time. Listen, for every one maybe questionable decision that Dennis Allen had, the fan base, to me, if you're an Eagles fan, there was about 3 or 4. What the hell are head coaches doing? Does he really know what he's doing to run this team?
Yeah, there were definitely more than one occasion where you were questioning what are the Eagles doing this right now?
Yeah, at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
While Dennis, you might say, one time, whatever, we got to take the points instead of going for it. Sirianni. Sirianni. The Eagles fans are definitely questioning that, and they will in games to come, but they won, so they're not going to question it after this game because they won the game.
We are here on the Ciroc Point After. Want to hear from more of you on our line, 504-260-1870. Me and Bobby are going to raise a glass, give our Ciroc toast to the player of the game when we get back. So fill up your cup. We'll be back with more of the Ciroc Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, the Ciroc Point After, celebrate life responsibly. And time for our Ciroc toast to the Saints. Pour yourself a glass of Ciroc Premium Vodka. And today, Bobby, we're going to toast Carl Granderson for his outstanding performance on defense.
Oh, without a doubt. If you look at the first 3 games, Steve, he might end up being underpaid. I think he's but talk about a humble, great individual, Sacramento, California. Played at University of Wyoming, middle of nowhere. I never forget, I'm not just saying this because one time we were talking to him at practice and he said, oh, what's your favorite restaurant? I like that Bobby Hebert's restaurant. and it's like, well, what? Like, and here's Bobby Hebert right here. It's the Avery. He goes, oh, you kind of looked at me. I think he had a little dinner work. He had a grill going or something on.
Yeah.
And I remember, but he's just a nice guy, but he's a beast on the football field. If you look at Carl Granderson and his production and what he's done for the season and the game.
All over the place.
I mean, he had five total tackles, a sack and a half, two quarterback hurries, two tackles for a loss. He forced a fumble. So now on the season, he has three sacks. He has 13 tackles. If you look at it, okay, let me see. He has three tackles for a loss, and he has five quarterback hurries. No, Carl Granison, all I know is he ain't stealing money. He ain't stealing money. He is producing at the highest level. And now, Cam, we need you to produce at a high level. Okay, who's opposite of Carl Granison? Now, I thought Chase Young, he's shown flashes.
Sure.
Oh, okay, Peyton Turner. You know, we can do it by committee, whatever. But when you look at, Peyton Turner, okay, I'm looking at him, you know, you don't see nothing in the stat sheet. You look at what he's done, you know, during the season. But Carl Granison, the one that is standing out. Now, the one thing about Chase Young, he is being disruptive. If you look at it, he only has a half a sack on the season. But the one thing that he is doing is that he has, quarterback hurries. That means making the quarterback getting rid of the ball quicker than he wants to. He has six of those snaps. He has six. He had three in this game, that being Chase Young. And then he had three coming to this game, so he has six total. So I think, really, it's Carl Granison, then Chase Young, and then Cam Jordan or Peyton Turner, whatever. How are they going to contribute? You know, because I can tell you right now, our strength's more on the edge than the interior. Because you look, Colin Sanders dealing with an injury. Nathan Shepard. Now, you can't pay everybody. Now, David Onyemata, we're going to play them with the Falcons and where he's at. But our interior right now is not necessarily nothing to write home about when you compare it to other interiors in the National Football League. Now, I think Brian Brzee is being more productive, I should say, and getting better. Like, I thought his game was outstanding. He had two sacks, two quarterback hurries, two tackles for a loss. So you look at Brian Brzee, what he's contributed. So now he has three sacks on the season. You know, a lot of times, if you're an interior rusher, he's already at three sacks. If he has six to seven sacks the whole season, that's outstanding. Then the quarterback hurries, and you look at that. So now he has three there. Tackles for a loss, he has three there. But the one thing with Brian Brzee, you know, if I'm playing against him too, and the teams know this, when he's in there too. And I don't know if Dennis Allen still have enough confidence in him. He's gotten better playing against the run. But if he's at, don't let him pass rush, where he can pin his ears back in the interior, run right at him. You know, come off the ball and run block him. So that's why I still think we're soft in the middle. And, you know, DeMario Davis getting up in age and all that, but you still got those guys up front. We don't have beast mode to the level, like I said, of the Eagles in their interior compared to what we're trying to do. Right now, just look at the games when that tsunami, like I said, when they handed the ball up the middle to Saquon, then we were trying to do that.
It was just disappointing because obviously that front for the Eagles wasn't as dominant in those first two games for them.
Well, because I think those big guys they got, they're so talented, but they're lazy. They are big.
Well, great. They got motivated for New Orleans.
No, they did. You get humbled, and can you be a coach that pushed the right buttons to get them going? Them two cats, that's a lot of beef. You know, Jalen Carter, sometimes I think he underachieves in games.
Right.
But just look where they were drafted. Because you know the ability, the potential is there, but the can you motivate them? Game in and game out. It's a long season. And I look at, for instance, look at Carter. Both him and Davis, they had four tackles. Davis had a sack, quarterback hurry, a tackle for loss. Carter had quarterback hurry, two tackles for loss, two passes defended because they get that push up the middle.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, people think that a great pass rush as a quarterback is always coming off the edge. I'm not worried about those guys coming off the edge. If I can step up in the pocket, I'm not worried about getting hit. I can step up in the pocket. But sometimes when you step up in the pocket, there's nowhere to go. That's a quarterback's nightmare. Now, if you're talented as Jalen Hurts and you can run around, then you can exploit that and extend a play and all that. But with Derek Carr, that is not good.
Yep.
How we want to be and how we want to play, if Derek Carr steps up in the pocket, I know he will be successful.
That was something that was bugging me today, Bobby. There were way too many passes deflected that Carr was passing. I think there was 8 on the day from him.
And he's trying to step up and in the
too
pocket.
Too many batted balls.
And, Steve, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm looking at it right now. Okay, let's see. Well, you can look at all passes because it's considered a pass defendant. So I'm looking in the interior.
Okay.
So 2-4. So it was like 4 passes, not counting the secondary. I think it was like 4 passes, for sure, like 2 or 3 that they got because of defensive line.
Definitely happened more often than we're used to seeing.
No, they're getting their big paw on
exactly.
the ball and stuff. And then you might say, damn, that was a first down. You can see the receiver open, but then you see that even in college or the pros. The quarterback trying to get the ball through the trees, through the branches, so to speak. And the ball gets batted down.
Yeah, that was definitely discouraging. Like I said, we hadn't seen that the first 2 games, obviously, with the success the offense was having.
You know who was I still get frustrated that you know who did an outstanding job with that? And sometimes he did not rush the passer like he used to. I'm going old school now. Ronaldo Turnbull from West Virginia. I never forget this week. He'd be blocking him, but his wingspan was unbelievable. And I was like, man, I thought I had a great pass. Now, this is against him with the Saints.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say where I was playing. But I was like, how the hell did he bat that ball down? About that have been yards after the catch. That would have been about a 30-yard gain. Damn it. Ronaldo Turnbull knocked the ball down. So that does count. Cam Jordan has done that in the past.
Oh,
Brian
yeah.
Brzee has done that at a high level.
We're going to get into our rapid fire as we're winding down the show here. So we're going to take a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Get back to your calls right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat, folks? Back here on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Getting into your phone calls, 504-260-1870. If you want to chime in, John in Covington, we're getting to you, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
All right, John, what you got?
I wanted to ask if how does the center going down, how does that affect the quarterback call? But also, is this a good loss for the Saints?
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, David, it's a better loss. Is this John? Okay, John from Covington. It's a better loss than if we lose to Atlanta or Tampa Bay. Now, it's more relevant loss than if we lost to Kansas City. Because, you always look at tiebreakers and NFC and AFC and all that, and when the season unfolds and when you reflect back on what actually occurred. So, no, this was a meaningful game because it is the NFC. You look at tiebreakers and all that, but it's not like a division game. So with that being said, now what else did he say? What was the beginning? I got off on that.
McCoy going down.
Oh, no, without a doubt. McCoy's the quarterback of the offensive line. If he can't go against Atlanta, that's not good. To me, that affects the point spread. You might not think it does. But not only is McCoy the quarterback of the offensive line, he's our best offensive lineman. He's the guy that wins. And more than any other game, when you consider the beef that they had in the middle with the Eagles, with Carter and Davis, that we'd have needed McCoy more than anything, like this type of game, at the point of attack, in the A-gap. You got the guard center, you got the guard right up the middle. If it's a 3rd-and-1, are you confident? You didn't have a good game, and I think we need him to play well, because he has a lot of experience, and we're rewarding him a lot. And he got hurt, and then he came back Cesar Ruiz. Cesar Ruiz didn't play as good as he needs to. Now, the more you could do, like Lucas Patrick. I'd rather Lucas Patrick just have to worry about playing left guard, not have to play center. Now, if you could play center or guard or center or guard, then you last a long time in the league, and you get highly compensated, and you're highly valued. But I'd rather have McCoy ready to roll and just have Lucas Patrick focus on guard instead of having to play center too. I'm telling you, I don't know, groin, I'm just glad it's not his knee or something. I don't know the extent of McCoy's injury, but I know if any team lose their best offensive line, you go, like, oh, Bobby, look at the Eagles. They had offensive linemen that got hurt. Who was the one, Charlie? I think he might have had a concussion.
Lane Johnson, yeah.
Lane Johnson. I think that's a household name. But to me, that just shows you we were questioning our offensive line, just the starters, in preseason. Okay, look at the strengths and weaknesses of a team. Then you look at the depth and where you're at. To me, that's just telling me on face value, I don't know, I'm just watching. Eagles, Saints. I would say the Eagles had better depth on the offensive line than the Saints did. If I'm just looking at, okay, plug and play, okay, next man up. The next man, it does matter who in the hell's the next man. You might say, oh, just put him in there. Trevor Penning, to me, he is what he is. He has to get control of his emotions. He can't have a damn stupid penalty where somebody's way out of bounds and you're freaking drilling him and laying him. Come on, you have to understand where you're at.
Made it look worse, too, that the guy got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. But look how he finished that block.
Yeah.
You have to know your surroundings. You can't be that out of control. And Trevor Penning, he is what he is. Yeah, hopefully he can get better as a pass blocker. I think he's a road grader. I think that's his ability as a run blocker. But put it this way. You know how we celebrated the offensive line the first two games? I don't think we celebrating jack.
No, big with offensive line.
This game. Because it was more like what occurred last year. We averaged 3.1 yards a run. And then we had 142 yards passing. Now, we only gave up one sack. I think Derek Carr had a lot to do with that, getting rid of the ball. But the bottom line is we had 12 first downs. The offensive line, listen, you don't get any of the credit. We counting on you to be successful so the team can have success.
Saints going down 15-12 at home to the Philadelphia Eagles. New Orleans now 2-1 on the season. We'll be back to wrap up the Ciroc Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Before we take one last shot here on the Ciroc Point After, going to let stations identify themselves. We'll pause 10 seconds on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Pouring out that shot of Ciroc here on the Ciroc Point After. Going to go to David in California. You're going to have the final word for us this evening on the Point After. David, what you got?
Well, I appreciate you guys, and I think you guys got a great show, and just like to give a shout-out. Most of your fans have covered most of the points, but when you're taking a Ford Explorer on the offensive line and trying to go against an 18-wheeler, you're not going to win. So I was kind of surprised that they didn't put in the two tight end set and send some tight ends up the seam and give some help with the offensive line to push that big, beefy defensive line off the line of scrimmage, because – their guy spent most of the time in our backfield. And what you said about Shaheed is pretty important. Speed, Shaheed doesn't have the size to go up there and do contested. He's speed. Hit him long. So,
Hit him long.
Reminds me of Kyle Turney.
Pitting, yeah, he could be emotionally a little out of control. Listen, I wish he was Kyle Turley. Kyle Turley's a way better than Trevor Penning. Kyle Turley, to me, don't get enough credit. Now, I'm just talking about from a physical standpoint. Kyle Turley, to me, was a more polished offensive lineman. Now, I don't know. The jury's still out how Trevor Penning's going to develop. I think he can run block. But both emotionally, they were unstable on the football field. That's what they were doing. But you want offensive lineman that's hell bent for leather, but still under control. Now, when you're talking about Rashid Shaheed, like he's 6 foot, 180 pounds. He might be skinny, but he's not like he's 5'8", 5'9", and that fast. You could still high point a ball. I think at times, and Deuce mentioned this to me, like on that one long ball, I think the first one, that maybe the defensive back is grabbing his arm so he couldn't come up to, with both hands, to high point a ball. Because to me, it's like going up for a rebound. when the defender's there, and you have to pretend like it's your ball and nobody else's. And so that's the one area that, look, as much as I love Rashid Shaheed, he got targeted five times. But even if you have, think about this, one catch, you can't go 0 for 2. Go for 1 for 2 on those long plays. That could have made a difference in the game.
Cajun Cannon, we're closing things out tomorrow. You and Mike Dottiglia will be second-guessing at the Silver Slipper Casino. What's the consolation for these Hoodats right now as you say goodnight?
Yeah, I'm going to tell Coach Allen, why don't you play zone on that 3rd and 16 instead of man-to-man? And then you don't have to worry about us running into each other. All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hoodat, go Saints!